You're listening to Valley Edition. I'm Joe Moore. Last Thursday, Armenians around the world marked the somber occasion of the 99th anniversary of the Armenian Genocide. Around 1.5 million Armenians are estimated to have died in what is now known as the first genocide of the 21st century. This year, the fighting in Syria, and specifically in one traditional Armenian community, Kasab, has brought the memories of a century ago alive in a new and frightening way for the Valley's Armenian community. Here to tell us more about the situation in Kasab, some context on that situation, and also about the remembrance of the Armenian genocide is Barlow Derbergadichian. He is the coordinator of Fresno State's Armenian Studies Program. Barlow, welcome.
Thank you, Joe.
The struggle for recognition has been a big challenge, a big goal for the Armenian community in the United States and across the world for many years. Earlier this month, the Senate Foreign Relations Committee adopted a resolution commemorating the genocide and its observance. The president issued a statement last Thursday as well, but the president stopped short of using the word genocide. What are your thoughts on the continued hesitancy by many in America's government from using that word?
Well, I think we've gotten, in a sense, used to presidents promising as candidates to use the word genocide and to support the Armenian cause in terms of the genocide. And then we see once that presidents have been elected, including President Obama, that they decide not to use the word genocide in their annual statement, but rather use a euphemism. In this case, he uses the term Medz Yeheren, which is an Armenian term, which means the great crime. Well, there's not really much difference between a great crime and genocide. So I take that as a good point in terms of what he's saying. But we have to also remember that, you know, previous presidents of the United States have used the word genocide, including President Reagan. So this is just political posturing, trying not to upset Turkey.
Speaking of Turkey, Turkish Prime Minister Recep Tayyip Erdogan issued a statement last week saying, having experienced events which had inhumane consequences, such as relocation during the First World War, should not prevent Turks and Armenians from establishing compassion and mutually humane attitudes towards one another. How was that statement received in the Armenian community?
In the case of Turkey, we have to always look at it in the context of the longer Turkish relations with the Armenians. So ever since the Armenian genocide, the Turkish government official position has been denial of genocide. But in the past five or 10 years now with the new prime minister and his party, that has begun to change that relationship. And this is a very good first step in the sense that for the first time, a prime minister is officially talking about those events. He's not calling it genocide, but he's talking about it. But it is basically sort of a repackaged denial of the Armenian genocide because really it's not the issue between the two peoples. It's between the government of Turkey and the Armenian people because the government of Turkey continues to deny the genocide.
What changes once that word is used?
Well, I think it opens up a whole series of opportunities for normalization of relations. For instance, today the Republic of Armenia and Turkey do not have diplomatic relations because Turkey says that the Armenian Republic has to say that there was no genocide or drop the genocide issue in order to do that. That's not normal. I think we want Armenia to have normal relations with its neighbors. And for the Armenians living in the diaspora, we want that peace of mind that says that the genocide which occurred will not be denied. Denial means that the Turkish government tries to say that nothing ever happened. And so the Armenians want that peace of mind that would come with recognition. And then there's a whole host of other issues, of course, that could be discussed.
How has the general understanding outside of the diaspora, outside of the Armenian community itself, changed, improved over the past few decades about what happened in 1915 and the years thereafter?
That's a great question because, again, it's a way of looking at it. You can't just look at a snapshot today and say, you know, we're somewhere or where we are. We have to look at the past two decades. And in the past two decades, I think there's been great momentum in foreign governments, among foreign leaders, parliaments, intellectuals, all basically coming out and publicly saying that it was a genocide, that what took place was a genocide, and therefore they're looking to seek from Turkey some sort of acknowledgement of that genocide. In particular, Turkey was trying to get into the European Union recently, and one of the big issues was acknowledgement of the Armenian genocide, that to be a member of Europe, that the government of Turkey has to acknowledge the genocide.
One of the concerns with the Armenian genocide, with any group that experienced such tragedy, such a terrible situation in the 20th century, and there have been several, is to prevent it from happening again, to prevent such an ethnic cleansing from occurring again in the future, and to remind ourselves of the horrors of those things. And unfortunately, the situation in Syria has brought those memories to the fore. The Armenian community of Kassab, which is in northwest Syria along the Turkish border, is long been a home for Armenian Christians. And in the current strife in Turkey between the Assad regime and the rebel fighters, some of them affiliated with Al-Qaeda, they swept into this province last month, seized a number of towns in this strategically important mountain region, and forced those longtime residents out of their city. This has caused international outrage, international concern. Tell us a little more about this part of the world and the Armenian community there.
Well, in Syria, there's the two big cities are Aleppo and Damascus, and there's a very large Armenian community that existed in Aleppo, because Aleppo is just across the border from Turkey. And in the 1915 Armenian genocide, when Armenians were being deported to their deaths, most of the deportation routes led to first Aleppo and then from Aleppo out into the Syrian desert to Deir Zor. The consequence was that for some Armenians who did survive, they actually just stayed in Aleppo. So since the Armenian genocide of 1915, a very large and important Armenian community had developed in Aleppo, over 150,000 Armenians, with schools, churches, and the entire sort of structure of an Armenian culture there. Also, it was important because it was still close to the historic homelands. In addition to that, there were historic areas such as Kesab, which you mentioned. Kesab is a smaller village, but also historically important because it was once part of the Armenian kingdom of Cilicia. So what I'm saying is that the civil war in Syria then really tore apart the Armenian community in Aleppo. And then suddenly this occurrence in Kesab just last month really brought open the wounds of the genocide, because Turkey had to have allowed those militants to come into that area so that the Armenians would be driven out. And many Armenians believe that it was Turkish government complicity that allowed those militants to come in.
What was the response like in the Armenian community across the globe to the situation in Kassab?
Well, unfortunately, it was an anguished reaction, as you can imagine. Any Armenians that had relatives there, and many have still relatives there, or are Armenians that had come from Kesab or from other places, again, it's just emblematic of this whole situation of the genocide, that Armenians are vulnerable. And as Christian Armenians, they are vulnerable. And so it's a great sense of sadness, outrage that this could happen again, and seeking that the American government in particular use its influence to try to resolve that situation.
NPR reported on this situation last week. They spoke with the editor of an Armenian daily newspaper in Lebanon, Shahan Kandaharian, and he told NPR, "The future is not clear for the whole Christian community in the Middle East, not just the Armenians. We've seen what happens to Christians in Iraq," referencing the thousands of Christians who fled as extremism has risen there in the past decade. Do you have concerns along those lines beyond Syria and for the Armenian community in many of these countries in the Middle East?
I think the quote pretty much framed the whole situation, which is it's not only an Armenian Christian situation, that for the past several decades, as tensions have risen in various areas of the Middle East, Christians have been particularly targeted for persecution and forcing Christians to leave because the situation has become unlivable. Armenians are a subsection of the larger Christian population and are particularly, again, vulnerable for the reasons that were talked about. And so it, again, is something that we are concerned about, because Armenians in Iraq have been disrupted. The community has been disrupted. Now in Syria, Lebanon is foreseeably on the next step. And in other places, Egypt has already seen an Armenian community, a longstanding community, been disrupted many years ago. So These are all things that we need to be worried about and we need to be proactive about to make sure that we don't see a whole new group of refugees from these areas.
One of the individuals NPR spoke with who asked not to be identified, an Armenian who lives in Beirut, was born in Beirut and has lived there his whole life, he says and told the network, I always have all my documents ready, he says, in case the political or security situation changes and he's forced to flee. Is that an all too typical response?
Well, I don't know enough to say that it's everyone's response, but I think now in the back of a mind of an Armenian Christian living in these areas, that certainly they have to be looking out for the safety of their families. And whatever that takes, whether it's moving to a safer area. Actually, many Armenians in the Syrian civil war had moved to Kesab and surrounding regions, believing that it was more secure because it was an area which was inhabited by the sect that is closest to the Assad family, the Alawis. And so It's unbelievable now that those safe areas have also become areas that people have to flee from. So it again puts in danger the whole community.
Moving outside of the situation in Syria and the Middle East to Armenia itself and its larger position on the global stage right now, as Russia seems increasingly headed to some sort of confrontation or standoff with the West over the situation in Ukraine. How does that affect Armenian foreign policy and the nation of Armenia?
Well, it's a complicated issue. Armenia was part of the Soviet Union for 71 years. It's still in a region which it depends heavily on Russian aid and Russian military protection from Turkey. So the Armenian government is in a very delicate position. They cannot be seen as being too close to the West, to Europe, when Russia is seeking its own strategic gains, let's put it that way. I think it's just a complicated issue. They're trying to manage that issue as best they can. But of course, there's a whole series of threats and problems associated with that.
I want to close with one other quote from this article that ran on NPR last week. And this is from a member of an Armenian Catholic church in Beirut speaking about the situation, talking about in the context of the genocide and the situation in Syria, and talking about how, despite all of these concerns, he is hopeful for the future. And he said, quote, "Perhaps it's our Armenian. We've learned from our history that after every bad thing comes a better thing. Otherwise, we couldn't have survived all those centuries." Is that something that you agree with, can relate to?
Oh, yes, very definitely. Armenians have had this sort of inner strength to always say that no matter what happens, we're going to start the whole process again. That is, no matter how bad an invasion may be, a war or something, that Armenians also will go out and build. They'll go out and work hard to recreate and to rebuild. And so that's a very positive attitude, and an attitude which we see here for the Armenian community that has lived in the United States as a result of the genocide, and they have built themselves into a prosperous community.
We've been talking with Barlo Dermirgedichian, the coordinator of Fresno State's Armenian Studies Program, joining us today on Valley Edition. Barlo, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.